Bring it to the party, bring it to the ESPN Milwaukee team. Box full of Kringle is a Midwest dream. Old T and Jason at the radio station sing. Nothing starts a show like a freshman Kringle ring. Flaky, tasty, bake just right. Kringle makes your day.
God, there's nothing better than a Racine Danish Kringle. The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. This is, I am not a huge proponent of AI. This is allegedly AI. I don't know who submitted it, but we want to thank them for their artificially intelligentsia service, if that's the case, because it is fun. We will vote on our winner a little bit later in the program. But let's get to Packers and let's get to Micah Parsons. Look, I thought Evan's question about that and Christian Watson, who we'll find out more about today, Matt LaFleur talking at 1:35, locker room later this afternoon. I can assure you that Christian Watson is on my list of people that I certainly want to talk to. But
what are your people saying about that? Is he going to be available to play? What's the vibe?
Yeah. So since you dropped one Dumb and Dumber reference already today, Samsonite, I'm going to drop another one. So you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, good
again,
source.
Is this
a good source?
I don't want to get people's hopes up because this was a this was someone who was hedging, which I love a good hedge, but
sure.
I don't.
But was
it's
it a good
not,
source?
It's yes, but it's not out of. Let's put it this
okay.
way: it's not out of the realm of possibility in their mind. Now, whether or not that ends up becoming, it's a shorter week. I don't think this person knew exactly what the injury is. But I think it's okay to hold out hope. Let me put it that way. And we'll find out more today and we'll see what Christian Watson has to say about it. So
big J J Dub. I like it when Big J comes out.
Meanwhile, no Big J journalism was required yesterday because Micah Parsons, in what I thought was a very, eloquent, post, about his intentions, told us exactly what we knew, feared, expected, whatever you want to call it, and that is that his season is over. The line, and there's a couple of really good lines in there, but I am not defeated, I will rise again, leaning and referencing his faith, but Tausch, you've been through the journey that he is about to embark upon. Now, you were not as great of a player as you were. You were not the explosive pass-rushing freak that he is. What are you expecting? Because his follow-up post with Scar, who's the villain of The Lion King, is September. Now,
okay.
9 months from the injury would be September 14th, which would put him in week two. He's about 3.5 weeks ahead of what the schedule was for Christian Watson's ACL return, which for game action was October 26th. He was back on the practice field in 274 days. He played 9 months
right?
and 1 day from when he was injured.
It was before Halloween, right? The game.
Yes, it was before
Halloween. Before Halloween, yeah.
You're so smart.
There was also some frosh play before that as well. And Thanksgiving Day.
So here's what I would say. I get what Micah is doing. You need to kind of pull yourself up, and he's only a day out. I don't know when. I saw Mahomes had surgery already. In both of my ACLs, I needed the swelling to go down, especially the first one, where I got scoped, and then I had to wait a little bit because you want to, you know, make sure you're doing everything. And mm-hmm. so I don't know when Micah, you know, I know for me, I am immediately said the same thing as what Mahomes would have said is, let's do it so we can start the clock. I want to get back. That's what every player is going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily, hopefully you have doctors and people in place that'll say, well, let's give it a beat. You're going to be better suited with getting everything out of there first and having a clean setup, get your quad strong and do everything before so that you can help. You can get your recovery started as soon as you can. Mahomes, obviously, that was a different case. I don't know when Micah will go in to get it, but there is no reason with the technology and with where we're at. For me, my second time around, I didn't have surgery till the middle of January. Now, Green Bay didn't re-sign me. I was castigated out of the building, and I had to come down, and I was down with the great team in Wisconsin. I rehabbed and did everything down here, and then Green Bay called me back up. I would have been ready the middle of September. Matter of fact,
really?
So that was 8 months.
Uh-huh.
Eight months. Now, again, you've as you continue to say, which is accurate, I was not a all-pro stud that is explosive like Christian Watson and like Micah Parsons. It is different. I acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
But things now, I will be – the thing I caution, Micah, would be you want to set goals, but you also don't want to kind of give yourself artificial timelines. The biggest thing you're dealing with when you're rehabbing is – the physical side of this is not that hard. It's grueling. It's monotonous. It is by far the mental side because you go in and you have a plan. Like you'll sit down and if he, I don't know where he's going to rehab, if it's going to be Dallas, if it's going to be in Green Bay. Uh-huh. But you sit down with Flea and Nate and you say, all right, what's the process here? All right, well, we have to get your movement back to 180. We got to be able to bend your knee all the way back so you have full flexion. That allows you to start getting, you want to get your quad as strong. Then we'll get you in the pool running. Then we'll do this. And then all of a sudden, well, after 3 months, you can start jogging. And you want that process, and you keep shooting for it. That's the stuff that's easy. The hard part is it doesn't feel right. Can I get back? Am I ever going to be the same player? You know, at that point, I didn't even have a contract. There's so many mental things. Plus, you're watching your guys go out and play, and you don't know how that goes. There's guys replacing you. Now, in Micah's case, that is not a concern. So, mentally, I think he'll have an easier time, especially if he doesn't have any setbacks. But you're going to have some ups and downs. And I've told Flea this 100 times. The psychological part of this is trainers are much more psychologists than they are actual PTs. The PT stuff is there. Ice, stim, movement, swim, you know. Do all the stuff that you do in your normal rehabilitation. Can you stay fresh mentally to get through the monotony of what you're going to be going through? Because you're going to be doing the same blanking things day in and day out for an extended period of time, and that can be a real mental drain. Plus, you have a lot of people, and all the conversation is going to be from pretty much everybody is, how's your knee? How's your knee doing? Going to be back? When are you going to get back? How are you going to get back? And setting those deadlines, it's aggressive. But I think Micah Parsons, if he gets the surgery in the next couple of weeks, I don't see why he shouldn't set that as his goal.
So let me ask you this as a follow-up. So Adrian Peterson, looking at a story written by our buddy Kevin Seifert way back in 2012. Adrian Peterson tears the ACL and the MCL in his left knee on December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2011. He carries the ball 17 times for 84 yards and two touchdowns in the Vikings' season opening win on September 9th, 2012. And goes on to run for 2,097 yards that season.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He was back on the practice field during their off-season program. is he obviously would fall under the category of athletic freak. And by the way, just to be clear, I am not in any way shortchanging you for your accomplishments. I think you know me well enough to know that.
I said straight up, I understood where you're coming from.
My opinion of your career comes from nothing but a place of deep respect. You are a different type of players.
I appreciate that, Jason. No doubt.
I know you.
And I thought I was crystal clear.
You were. That was not directed at you. So, can he, if we use that as the ambitious goal, can he do what Adrian Peterson did? Sure. The question I have is that... yes, thank you. Because, again, this is not just a short-term... And look, it worked out great for Adrian Peterson. He has a great career. He comes back from that. He is productive not only that season, but thereafter. He's one of the all-time great running backs in NFL history. Micah Parsons still has plenty yet to be written in his career as well. As much as you want to be back ASAP, I just want to know, you know, because you've gone through it, do you have to have people in your corner who are basically holding you back for your own good and saying, look, you can still accomplish everything you want and we get you back on the field October 10th or whatever it might be? Do you have to have those people? Because I would say this, I don't pretend to know Micah Parsons extremely well at this point. You know, we've had a couple of conversations outside the group setting, but he is one ridiculously motivated, competitive cat. There's no question about that. That much, he oozes that part of his personality. I just, and me being overly cautious by nature, I don't think it's my place to put limitations on him by any means. I'm just wondering if his ambitious goal is a little bit dangerous.
I'm glad you recognize it's not your place to put limitations. Put that down, Jesse. It's not Jason's place to put limitations on Micah. Let Micah eat, man. If he is going to work and put in the time to do it and he is cleared, I want him playing yesterday. So, yeah, you have to be protective. I understand where you're coming from. But, Jason, the thing that you realize in the NFL is you have a finite amount of time, and especially that position, that athleticism. So, yeah, you want to make sure he's good and he's cleared and he's good to go. But if he's good to go, you let him go eat. And if he puts that goal and he is strong and he passes all the metrics – and all of the testing spots of being able to cut and move and do all those things, I want him out there on opening day. Because, yeah, you can wait till October. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be playing 85% of the snaps, but he could be playing 50, and he'd be making a huge impact on those 50. I'm not going to limit him at all. I want him setting those goals. I'm glad he is. The only thing I thought of when I saw that post, does he know that we're playing the Lions in week one? Like, that was the only thing I thought. Is it? Did he think last year we played? Because all the Lions, he's got a lion on there, and he's got the
he thinks of himself as a lion. Like,
But I also was wondering if he knows something we don't know.
No, I don't. I think he views himself as Scar. You know, the chasing the gazelle. He likened himself to a lion chasing after Jared Goff. When the Enter Sandman idea came up originally, he suggested that they play the Lion King instead. So he's definitely got a lion. Yeah. And then I thought, boy, Hakuna Matata doesn't feel like a song that gets you real fired up. It means no worries. I know that.
Can you feel
and that? What fires people up more, Roll Out the Barrel or Hakuna Matata?
It's close. I'm not sure. All right, so let's go from Micah Parsons to what happens next, right? That's really, to me, the conversation that today will be about at Lambeau, I don't know. Today's theoretically a Wednesday. We're treating today like a Wednesday. So I don't know if Jordan will talk today or not, because if it was a Wednesday, he would, obviously. But I am curious to see how he kind of views this. We look forward to that. But let's get to who elevates, because it takes a village, as we know. But who all needs to elevate their games as we move forward? We'll talk about that coming up after Tausch tells us about Kohler Services.
Great family-owned business, 150 years, a elite Wisconsin company, and Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, get your Lugstone shower remodel and zero interest financing for 12 months, plus a free shower door. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. And as always, fast professional installation is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So Micah Parsons' season is over. How do the Green Bay Packers recover? And who has to elevate their games to make up for his absence? There are certainly plenty of players on the defensive side of the ball that we can talk about, but you heard Evan Cohen mention Jordan Love. You heard what Chris Canty said. Tausch, I think he's played really well this season. So the idea,
yes,
when we say elevate his game, like, I think it's a small incremental thing, right? Like, I'm not saying he has to change the way he plays. I'm not suggesting he needs to. Quite frankly, you have to probably be careful you don't start to try to play hero ball, and it leads to more mistakes, right? So how do you view how Jordan Love has to approach this, knowing what the loss of Micah Parsons means to this team, both in terms of tangible production and in terms of its psyche, frankly?
Yeah, I don't think he needs to, like, go banana crazy, but I think he needs to. The difference now compared to what we were last year is I think you need to finish with the ball in your hands, and you need to, you can't put the ball. Arizona game is an example. Got to finish it. You can't give the ball back and let expect Micah. You're not there anymore to close up shop.
To be the closer.
We saw that kind of like what we saw in Dallas or in Detroit. 4th and 3. I'm going to make a play. It's not anything crazy he needs to do. It's more when the money's on the table, he's going to make a play, and it's going to make him on those 4th downs. He's going to make the big 3rd down conversion because he's played really good football this year. He hasn't force things. And you're right, there is a tendency when you lose a player of Micah's stature that you maybe think you got to do a lot more. You don't have to do a lot more. You just have to do a little more. And everybody has to. So I think there is a line of where you start thinking, I got to try to fit balls into tighter windows. What you'd need to do is just make sure you're dialed in and that you're able to, you know, really play clean, efficient football, and it's more offensively as a unit, not as much as he needs, well, I need to make these big plays. No. Matter of fact, it might even be better. I heard somebody, I think it was on our postgame show, talking, why go for the gusto when you're up 9? That's where you take a slow, methodical drive and just gut somebody. And I understand the point, but I do like firing a dagger at somebody when you can. And they and Matt LaFleur tried that. But sustaining drives, being critically good on 3rd downs, those are more along the lines, I think, what Jordan does not need to recreate anything crazy. He maybe just needs to elevate a little bit. It's the guys around him that probably need to do that too.
I want to talk about the guys on the defensive side of the ball next, but I'd also like to get back into some semblance of clock management. So let me tell you.
I want you to think about this as you're getting ready to make your read. Who is the one person that needs to really elevate in Micah's absence? I have an answer. I'll tease it after you get done with.
And your answer might surprise me.
There you go. Maybe.
Nice.
Probably not.
Mine is going to be very obvious. We'll talk about that coming up after I tell you about Associated Bank, the best customer service in the business. Not only do they have the awards to prove it, but I have the experience with them to prove it. Go to AssociatedBank.com and you'll find out more about Early Pay, which delivers your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early, about credit monitoring so you know that your credit score is where it needs to be to make that big purchase like we did with our Steinhoffel's furniture. And, of course, fraud protection. Somebody tried to get my money, and I appreciate the fact that Associated Bank had my back every step of the way. Plus, Badgers checking, Brewers checking, and Packers checking. So if you're a sports fan, there's no other bank to go to. Go to AssociatedBank.com to make the switch today. Who? Well, wait a minute. Let me step back. Tausch, resume your tease.
I believe there is one person that really needs to elevate their game in order for this defense to stay and even improve from where they are right now and make this team feel like they can overcome the loss of Micah Parsons. I'll tell you who my guy is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Now he delivers on the player that needs to elevate his game. Tausch, the floor is yours.
All right, so I think there's a lot of guys that I feel like can not replace Micah, but one of the things that most of us have forgotten about was that this defense last year with, by the way, you basically swapped Kenny Clark for Micah, which has been a pretty good trade. We love Kenny, but it's been a pretty good trade.
Agreed.
Last year's defense made big strides in getting a lot better. This year, I think people are going to say, well, Rashawn Gary needs to elevate. Yeah, that's true. You know who I think needs to elevate and is going to elevate and is going to be a big-time player? There's two guys, and the guy I'm picking probably will surprise you. I think the guy that's going to have the biggest impact, going to get the most reps, and going to have the most impact on it is going to be my guy, J.J. Anagbare. That's what I think.
Am I supposed to be surprised by that? Can I reveal that when you teased it and I said it might not be who you think, that's exactly who I thought it was from you?
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really good call, too.
Why is Jesse hitting the boom boom button? You think it's
because I thought Jesse. It would be like, oh, Rashawn Gary, oh, Carrington Valentine, what a Javon Bullard, what
Carl Brooks, what are you doing here?
Well, I'll say this: I think Anagbare will get opportunities. I am a firm believer that if this defense is going to be as good as it was last year, and I don't even know what. Is this year's defense better statistically than last year's at this point?
Let me fact check that while you talk.
Okay. Jeff Hafley is going to have to get in his bag. And I said that yesterday, and I'm a firm believer that this pass rush, nobody can – you saw Dallas. Nobody is going to withstand losing someone like Micah and think you're going to be as good rushing four. That's just not going to happen. It would be like asking Cleveland to rush four without Myles Garrett. It's just not going to be as good. So – all of the things, Edgerrin Cooper is somebody that I think you start tinkering with, and you look at him blitzing a little bit more. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't feel like he's done that a bunch this year. It's been more coverage. Now maybe you need to mix that up a little bit. Maybe some of the Micah walking up in the A gap and picking and choosing where to go. Maybe you utilize Edgerrin a little bit more doing that.
Love it. Fact check from Tausch. The Packers are eighth in the NFL in scoring defense, even after giving up 34 to the Broncos. They are sixth in total defense in terms, excuse me, of yards per play or yards per game. Okay. They are fifth in yards per play. They are eighth against the run. They are eighth against the pass.
That's pretty good.
So yeah. A lot of eights.
Crazy eights.
Crazy.
Some might say.
Nice.
Last year, the Green Bay Packers finished sixth in the league in scoring defense. They were fifth in total defense in yards per game and per play. They were seventh against the run and 13th against the pass. Now, the one difference is they were in a much better place takeaway-wise than they were in last season. The Packers finished fourth in the NFL in takeaways with 31. This year, the Green Bay Packers are all the way down in 25th with 13, with three to go in the season.
This is an uncomfortable question to ask.
Oh, boy.
Was our defense markedly better last year than it is this year? You just heard those stats, and I'm not even going to ask you. Jesse, you just heard Jason spit out those stats. Which defense would you rather have?
So the numbers say last year. I think another factor that it's an intangible based on what those numbers are would be the strength of schedule that they played. Last year, I think they played a weaker schedule than, you know, obviously they finished in second place in the division last year, so they played a second place schedule. Their cross-conference opponents are better this year than they were the AFC South last year, so I think...
Well, they just played the best team in the league.
That's what I'm saying. They're playing a tougher schedule this year than last year. So their defense numbers look better last year because the competition, even you know, the NFC North was up last year, but the AFC South and their cross-conference opponents were weaker a year ago than they are this season. So I would say by the numbers, you would say you would want last year's defense. But eye test, Micah Parsons makes this defense tremendously better this year. They're fun to watch. They're fast. They're explosive. They're closers. And it's going to be tough to overcome losing him no matter what.
I don't know how to answer this question that I just posed.
And you asked it. Yeah.
Because the NFL is all about creating turnovers and stopping the run. That, to me, is what I'm looking for. Havoc plays, turnovers, and give it a point differential. You know, how many points are you giving up? Which team gave up less points? Last year's team, right? Statistically?
Yeah, it's not by much, and I do think Jesse makes a very fair point about the strength of schedule or the quality of the opponent. They're giving up 20.1 points per game this season,
and they gave up plays.
No, if I may, the specific question you asked was scoring in terms of points. Last year's defense, 19.9 points per game. This year's defense, 20.1. So negligible difference. Also, I think there are other metrics that are not available on the specific NFL website that they give us for statistics. I think the prevention of big plays is one of the things that I want to comp during the next commercial break for you, because it feels to me like they have been better about limiting explosions than last year's defense was.
On the flip side, we're not getting big plays either.
Right. Well, and not enough takeaways. So, yes, look, it's a tough call. Jesse said the eye test.
I don't know if it is.
No, I think Jesse did a really good job there, which that's probably going to become a drop at some point. The strength of schedule, the quality of the opponents, the Packers – probably, like, shellacking the New Orleans Saints 34-0 certainly helped, right? That the numbers there. Have the Packers had a game that qualified as that? You know, they held the defending Super Bowl champs to 10 points in a loss. But I do think that the balance of, okay, they're preventing big plays better than last year's defense, but mm-hmm. they have, I mean, right now, like 13 takeaways in 14 games? So that puts them on pace for what, 16 at best? That's half of what they had last year at 31. Like, they have to finish with a flourish just to be more than half of what they had a year ago. That's a huge drop-off, especially for a unit.
So why is that, Jesse? You just said we're flying around more, we're more athletic. I am not arguing that point one bit. 100% agree. Evan Williams, much better player than he was last year. Edgerrin Cooper, much better player than he was last year. Why are we not creating more turnovers?
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just said something really interesting there. Edgerrin Cooper, much better player this year.
Yeah.
Not as big play of a player this year, though. So can you be a much better player and have far fewer big plays? Dude was the defensive player of the week, not once but twice. He had a ton of big plays last year.
Oh, how many? He had 2,000 big plays?
Are you being obtuse on purpose?
You said words matter. You always tell me words matter.
At least get back in the camera frame if you're going to talk smack.
What, doesn't he tell me words matter all the time? He does.
We need to play trivia. We'll circle back to this. Jesse,
I think if we poll this, where you have to provide the critical stats with your poll. Who wins? What do our fans think? Because I think all of us agree it feels faster, it feels better, but the metrics don't match.
Yeah, tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll ask Jeff Hafley. Settle a debate for us.
Well, he's going to say this year's because it's this year's team. He ain't an idiot.
He's not an idiot. I would agree with that assessment. He would also stay in the
camera frame. How dumb would he have to be to say, last year's defense a lot better. Oh, a lot better. You saw the turnover stats, Jason. You're a stats guy.
Yeah, I will work on. I have till tomorrow afternoon to craft my question in a manner that hopefully will result in an insightful answer. He's a smart guy.
Have you ever felt like it's a no-brainer, but it's totally not a no-brainer?
I want to be very complimentary to your brilliance. I know you need that.
You don't have to I'm not looking for compliments. I'm literally. It's very surprising.
It is, it's wild that we stumbled upon this. This is the kind of stuff that makes this show, because some people would have thought of this in their show prep before the show. I don't know. There are shows that do it. God bless them. But we are very organic around here. We will get more in depth with this. I will start to look for some of the explosive play information, etc. But first, we got to play trivia. Jesse, what's today's category, and which caller would you prefer?
It is Tuesday, and I didn't bother making sports weekend recap questions yesterday, knowing we would be heavy calls. So today is a traditional Badgers trivia Tuesday.
Beautiful. Caller 109. No. Caller 11. Caller 11. Because that was Micah Parsons' number in Dallas, because I don't want to ask for caller 1. Caller 11 for Wildy and Tausch Trivia, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 11 right now plays trivia. Caller 11, 844-770-3776, but not until Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Oh, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or if you have a tough loss out in the Rocky Mountains, nothing better than cracking open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. It's refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. That's why Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado.
Caller 11 plays trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Is this true? This guy again? We gotta do the bracket. Although, that may take away his greatness. Because one of the things he's great about is being the caller that plays. We'll tell you who the contestant is after Big Voice Guy tells you about Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Iron Jock and Cousin Subs.
Your teaser trivia contestants.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Purchase $30 worth of Cousin Subs gift cards this month and receive a certificate for a 7.5-inch sub. And by Iron Jock, performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
We welcome in the goat. You know, goats like to eat grass and other foliage in the prairie. It is Jerry in the prairie. Jerry, man, how do you do this? It's gerrymandering, some might say.
It took me a long time to get through again, and now it's 2 days in a row. I don't know.
I'm so happy that you got through and eager to see if you live up to your our high, lofty expectations for you. The category is bad.
Jerry, as the goat of trivia, I don't think anybody. Now, does that mean you're going to win the tournament? No, we've seen this. Are we not taking enough callers on trivia? Is it too easy for you to get in?
No, I'm telling you, it's not easy to get in anymore.
Okay. All right.
He's just that good.
Yeah.
He's talented.
Just lucky.
He's like Ken Jennings. That quick whistle deal on Jeopardy.
We've had many contestants over the years play in back-to-back weeks. I'm not sure we've ever had someone play back-to-back trivia rounds. Jerry played Friday, did not get selected as the winner. We didn't play yesterday, and now he's playing today. So this might be a record for Jerry in the Prairie today. First person to ever play back-to-back
trivias. Let's go, Jer.
Wouldn't it have been better to go, let's go, Jerry, because you've got the right number of syllables there?
Hey, you do you, I'll do me. How's that?
Oh, you do you.
Let's go, Jer.
That's true. Let's go, Jerry. Question one. On Friday nights, the Wisconsin men's basketball team faces Villanova in a neutral site game at which of these venues? Is it Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Resch Center in Green Bay, or Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame in Hayward?
I'm going to go with A.
Bingo, one for one.
How is that considered neutral?
It's not the Badgers' home court, and it's not Villanova's home court. It's Marquette's home court.
Had we been able to play there last year in the NCAA, we'd have been in the
there. Court. It is. So that was coming.
I checked on a map. The Badgers are closer.
but not by much. But it's very neutral. It's very neutral. All right, Jared, which Big Ten rival did Wisconsin defeat in the title match to win the 2021 NCAA Volleyball Championship? Is it Minnesota, Nebraska, or Penn State?
I'm going to go in Nebraska.
You nailed it. That's why you're the GOAT.
Should go Nebraska.
Why's the GOAT?
I thought maybe the GOAT was going to trip and fall there. I really did. He did? Seemed hesitant.
Penn State's giving us some problems. Minnesota, they're not a postseason volleyball team.
No, that's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, Penn State's good, but Nebraska's the...
Great minds, Jer. Great minds. Yep. Has Nebraska won a championship in the last decade? Jesse, they always make it. They're this great regular season team, and then, blech, spit up on their shoes.
They have, but not lately. And they had a player a couple of years ago suggest they were going to run three straight championships after losing in the championship, and they have not been to the championship match since Super
Glenn. I can't imagine the criticism that they're getting down there in Lincoln with that media, with that team choking that. I can only imagine sports talk and all of the newspapers. The criticism there has got to be strong. Go ahead, Jesse.
Jason?
What I'm seeing here, national championships, 95, 2000, 2006, 2015, 2017. National runner-up, 86, 89, 05, 18, 21, and 23 for your Nebraska Cornhuskers. Question three, Gerald, is this. Which player led all scorers with 20 points in Wisconsin's legendary win over undefeated Kentucky in the 2015 men's basketball Final Four? Was it Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, or Nigel Hayes?
I'm going to go with Frank the Tank.
Yes, sir. What a player. I hope we, you know, it's getting to be the end of the year. I hope we respect our great players in sports, and I think we want to make sure we let them know how much we respect and admire. I want to make sure Jerry knows he's one of the GOATs. I think we want to make sure he knows that we respect and admire how he approaches his trivia performance, because it's been pretty fun to watch.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well done, Jerry. Jason Smug, I don't think he sees it the same way, but I do. From this chair, I just want to say, Jerry, kudos to you. Well, you're hammering your head into your microphone. You could jump in and say, you know what, Tausch, I agree. This is Jerry's performance has been, he's all pro.
Witnessing greatness.
He's an all pro.
Yeah.
And Jason's just sitting there like it's just another walk in the park.
Like,
what he's looking.
Like watching Rodgers carve up the Dolphins last night. Yep. Yeah, it's still got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jerry, we appreciate your participation in the program, and we appreciate your loyalty to the show. We think very highly of you as both a contestant, as a human being, and quite frankly, we look forward to our next interaction with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thanks. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
Jerry has all four entries into Friday's drawing, and I hope we have now very clearly professed our appreciation for him and his brilliant talents.
Well, I had to guilt you into it. Doesn't feel good. You're forcing me guilt me into it. I don't love that. I mean, would it be nice if you just proactively were like, gosh darn it, Jerry, that's good stuff. Instead, I got to beg you to compliment Jerry. Ain't that something, Jesse, huh?
That's something.
I literally called him the GOAT when I introduced him.
Number one.
But you're right. Very much undercutting
his
greatness.
Well, Joe Barry, in fairness, Joe Barry called Aaron Rodgers the GOAT last night, too.
He did. He did, yes.
Which
and I'm sure
fun.
It meant a lot to Aaron. we will start at the 11 o'clock hour.
Do you think it did? I'm sure
minutes.
It was meaningful.
It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.